You ready? Let's go.
Clipper scores!
Hockey gods will always come back and get you.
Sean Corrado gets some open ice, takes a shot, he scores!
Hockey gods will come back and get you every time.
Welcome to the Religion of Hockey podcast. My name is Grav, joined by Nico today. Unfortunately, Jay is just a little bit sick today.
Jay is MIA.
Yeah, Jay's done for today.
Jay's done. The Habs are done. He was done.
Jay just quit with the Habs, basically.
Well, his Avalanche are in it, so...
Oh, yeah, that is true. Somehow, some way.
So we've been gone for like a long time.
Like... A week and a half, I think.
Well, we left when the playoffs started. We went MIA.
Yeah, we're back though. Don't worry.
Well, there's just been so many games. Like watching it, like I just found out that what NHL streams are, on Reddit. I've been paying $1 million for this NHL Game Center thing, and like I've watched all these games through like really bad streams online.
That's one way to do it, I guess.
Oh man. Oh yeah, one quick shout out really quick. I'm playing in League Gaming. You guys may know what that is, may not. It's like this NHL league thing. I'm with the Mavericks. We won the President's Trophy. We were down in our series to the Nailers, and we were down 2-0 with 10 minutes to go in the third. We tied the game. We win overtime. We scored 3-2. Game 7's tomorrow. Let's go Mavericks.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Let's go, Mavs. All right, playoff time, baby. Let's get into the Western Conference.
We'll start with the Western Conference and the best series of all time. No bias confirmed. The Dallas Stars beat the Nashville Predators in 6 games, baby. I'm not sure if I predicted this one. I'm going to say I did not because I did not predict this one. I did not have too much faith in Dallas winning this series. I thought they were going to be competitive. I saw Nashville winning in 6, but Dallas went the other way and won in 6. It was a crazy finish. John Klingberg getting that beautiful overtime winner to send them on to round 2. But Nashville had a decent series power play-wise. I don't think Nashville Predators fans want us to mention that. But it was like 0-15. It was not good.
Yeah, that's crazy what happens when you don't score a power play goal, right?
I mean, yeah. Like, I mean, who...
I got a question for you, though. So, do you think that Nashville's power play was just bad? Or do you think that Dallas's penalty kill was that good?
I think it was a mixture of just bad luck and Dallas just being prepared in every single way for Nashville's penalty kill. When it came to guys Forsberg, Johansson, Victor Arvidsson, those guys should have at least a goal on the power play in a series. Like, that's unbelievable that they could not score with that. I think it was not just the personnel that Nashville had. Yes, there were some unlucky bounces. There were some post shots throughout the series. But Dallas was just prepared in every way. And the penalty kill has been great for Dallas all season. And last year was amazing. This year took a little bit of a step back, but was still pretty solid. I think for Dallas, they were just prepared, especially in that aspect, because Nashville had the worst power play in the league. And I think Dallas wanted to make sure to have that on lockdown. And it was a big part of the series. Nashville had a lot of opportunities, but not even scoring on one power play might have been the difference for Dallas to get it over the top, honestly.
Tell everybody who Rupe Hintz is.
Rupe is the best player in the world, better than Connor McDavid. Confirmed, basically.
No, for real, tell him, because I have no idea. I didn't know this man existed until this series happened. I thought his name was Rope Hintz. Like, I literally thought he was like a ketchup packet. Like,
that's it. When he was a prospect, I did actually call him Rope. It was hilarious. Like, I still kind of call him Rope a little bit, but his name is Rupe. It's Rupe Hintz, basically. I like to say Hintz because it's a little bit more, it rolls off the tongue a little bit more. But when it comes to Rupe, he was in the Liga. He was back in the 2016 draft.
Yeah, 2016 draft.
On the second round. He's made some definite progress in the Liga. He had that like one great season, I think it was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Then he was a big part of the AHL club that went on to go to the Calder Cup final, lose to the Marlies. He was a big, big part offensively. This year, it was looked at as a year that he could take a little bit of a step up into the NHL. He had he was kind of called up and down quite a few times throughout the season, a little bit inconsistent sometimes, but when he was there, he was excellent. And the playoffs, and going into the playoffs, in the last few games of the season, he was excellent. And in the playoffs, he was just a whole other beast, being a fantastic guy on the power play, and offensively being a force to be reckoned with. And honestly, next season, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes kind of more towards a top six role with Dallas permanently, maybe even producing in that way, because the kid has a ton of talent, and he's, I think he's like 21 right now.
Yeah, I think he just turned 21. Exactly. So like, everything you were just saying, like, there's a lot of fans that like just don't know who this Dallas team is, and like, it's just like, for me personally, it's like, I'm never gonna turn on a Dallas Stars game. Like, I know that sounds like, I know you're gonna look at me like that, but it's like realistically, like, there's a lot of fans out there that are like, just like, who are these Dallas Stars? Like, yeah, everyone knows Spezza, everyone knows Sagan, everyone knows Ben. Like, even Spezza came up kind of big in this last game, wouldn't you say so? Like, I think he was kind of all over that. Like, he's been, obviously, Spezza, but I mean, like, but when he was put into the, like, when he had opportunities, I kind of noticed him a little bit more than I would have, you know, regularly.
He was a good player throughout the whole series. Maybe not, like, maybe the best offense output.
When he was in.
Like, he was the, I think he had the best face-off percentage in the entire league in the regular season. I mean, the guy can still play, obviously. Defensively, he is very underrated, I think. Puck handling-wise, he can still do a lot. I don't think he's going to rack up as many points as, of course, he used to. I mean, that would be a little bit insane if he did. But when it comes to just the overall play of him, I think he is pretty underrated. He might not score as much as he used to, but in the playoffs, I think he was a pretty big factor.
All right, one more. I got one more for you. So, don't do this to me for the Leafs, because I'm not going to be able to answer that as well as you did.
Oh, no.
But, all right, Miro Heiskanen, man. Who is this man?
An absolute god.
How do you already... you don't have his jersey. You have...
Okay, so I'm almost 100% getting a Winter Classic jersey of him. Okay. Almost 100%. But, yeah, I have a Klingberg jersey,
yeah,
which came in pretty handy in the stream that I had. But with Klingberg scoring that OT goal, I have a Ben and a Klingberg. Those are the only two current players I have a Dallas Stars jersey. But I need to get a Miro jersey because the guy is just...
All right, who is he? Who is he, though? Because I know he was drafted third overall. And that was kind of what when I was in Chicago when he got drafted. And I was at that draft. And I was kind of like, I know who he is, but I don't know if he's worth the draft pick.
Well... I don't know if it was like a big jump, but it was like a tiny bit of a jump. I think he was probably pegged around 5.
He was
or
like
four.
He was like 7 on a lot of the drafts there at the time. He was like 7, like,
yeah, around there.
Seven.
Like, I don't think a ton of people had him going top 3, but right, I mean, obviously Elias Pettersson is a pretty good player, and I think Dallas would have rather picked him if he had the chance. But having Miro Heiskanen at number 3, I still think he would go probably number 3 in a redraft at this point. It is a little bit early to tell, obviously.
Oh, wait.
But Miro Heiskanen last year, he made some bigger improvements in the Liga. Overall, he was named the best defenseman in the Liga overall, not even just for...
And that's the Finnish league.
Yeah, the actual Finnish Liga, not the junior SM Liga or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The actual SM Liga. He had a fantastic season. This year was looked at as one that he'd be consistent in the NHL, hopefully have a big role with the Dallas Stars. And every expectation that I had for him was just absolutely blown away. Ice time-wise, he played the most amount of minutes in game 6 of any player on Dallas. It was just unbelievable the amount of ice time he was playing for a 19-year-old and commanding that all the time. The mistakes that he makes are few and far between as a 19-year-old defenseman playing almost 30 minutes a game. It's pretty insane the responsibility he has at such a young age, but he's been able to command it so, so well. And that's what's most impressive to me is that he's not putting up like Rasmus Dahlin numbers or obviously Elias Pettersson numbers, but he is getting it done in everything and everything you ask him for, he is able to just do it flawlessly.
So before this Dallas and Nashville series got started, Sportsnet's Doug McLean was on the Hockey Central at noon. He was like, I think Miro Heiskanen is going to be the best defenseman in this series, which was a pretty bold statement to say. Do you think he lived up to that billing?
I think so. I think he would. He definitely had, the most responsibility in the series. But when it came to, like, overall play, I would say offensive, defensively, I would say he's probably number one. John Klingberg was up there. Eslandell had a very underrated series. Obviously, on Nashville, the defense on paper was solid. I think Dallas, honestly, in general, just had the better series overall. Even offensively, some of the depth guys were really performing. The Ben Radulov-Sagan line just had the most ridiculous six-game stretch I've seen of that play ever. And Ben, in all honesty, had his best stretch I think I've seen of him in maybe 3 years. He was that insane.
He was good.
And that line was crazy good.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of Dallas Stars game, obviously. So this is awesome for people who don't really get to watch Dallas. Like, this is awesome. I just like asking you questions. So it's like, so you just know.
Also, I need to say this right now.
Go ahead.
Ben Bishop for Vezina.
Dude, I was literally just about that. Was like, this has turned into quite the interview about the
Conn Smythe. Who cares about the Vezina right now? Conn Smythe, baby.
So I just want to point out, so prior to this, did you say Ben Bishop sucked?
At one point, probably throughout this season.
Go find our trophy things and put that audio in here. I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna send it to you because I remember specifically you saying Ben Bishop's not that good. Look at you. That was my next question. I was just gonna be like, did Ben Bishop live up to your low ceiling?
I'd say so.
Is he through the roof now? All right, so
he's just too good right now, I would say.
So obviously,
yeah, he was the biggest factor.
So obviously, Dallas won 4-2. So, do you have anything else you want to say about Dallas before?
Let's just smash St. Louis, please. I want my revenge.
Ooh, boy. All right,
that one's going to be a great series.
All right, let's move on to that one, though. Let's go to the St. Louis versus Winnipeg. St. Louis beating the Winnipeg Jets 4-2 in that series. Hello, Earth 2, Schwartz, he came through.
He was credible.
Jordan Binnington, hello, I'm still an actual goalie. This series,
surprise.
This series was, I gotta say, like, I watched a lot of this series, and I gotta say, like, I think Patrick Laine took a big step.
I would agree with that. Defense, like, he was the best player. I can't remember. I think it was, like, game 4, I believe, or something like that. I think it was the one that he scored a goal in, or a couple of goals, I'm not sure. But, like, overall, like, that was the best stretch of maybe his whole career. Overall, defensively, offensively,
mm-hmm.
He was pretty good, actually.
Using it, like, what I would say, you know, a player's getting going when he uses his body, he uses his stick, and he uses his head. Not only was Patrick Laine getting into the dirty areas, he was pulling pucks out. He was using his big frame everyone knew he could use. And he was shooting pucks. And not only that, he was using his head not to take dumb penalties. Because when you see a skilled player attempt to become like a two-way kind of guy, especially during the playoffs, you're going to see him miss stick lifts, miss checks. You're going to see him try and do a little bit too much and then end up hurting the team in the long run. Which, again, I saw him use, like you said, he took a big step, and like I think that he, like, it was just a really good series from all in all. I mean, obviously, St. Louis won, but I also think that he may have saved, I'm not saying that he had a bad season, but I think he may have, like, got himself an extra $1 million.
In the playoffs, like, for Winnipeg, I'm not confirming this, but it seems like Patrick Laine might have stepped off the Fortnite a little bit.
Stepped off the Fortnite. Okay, real question here, though. So who's better, Kyle Connor or Patrick Laine?
In the playoffs, both were pretty solid. Overall, Kyle Connor is just an absolute stud.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people are ridiculous that they're going to sit there and tell me that that Kyle Connor, like, people just don't know his name, you know?
He is maybe one of the most underrated players in the league.
He is the most, I think, like, people want to say that it's Barkov. No, no one knows who Kyle Connor is.
Barkov isn't underrated anymore, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's definitely not. But Kyle Connor, yeah, until he gets his name on, like, I don't know, a top wingers list, like, no one's gonna know it. Until Laine's not on this team.
Basically, he gets traded, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, and then it's Kyle Connor's team. But For St. Louis, we could definitely say Tarasenko came through. That top line was awesome. Bomeister. Hello, Bomeister's a player again.
He was okay, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, like, I want to say that, like, Bomeister, for what it's worth, I mean, he's 35 years old, 36 years old, playing top 4 minutes. Like, I know there's only so much you can expect from the guy, but I think he really stepped up there in the last couple games of the series. Like, he made a big poke check on Ryan Klingberg, Patrick Laine, on that he was wide open. And he just swung his stick around and slapped the puck away, and it was like, man, dude, that's just a veteran move.
He was really, I wouldn't say terrible, but not all that great in the regular season. But I kind of agree with you that he was unnoticeable, kind of, for St. Louis, and I think that is a good thing for him because he's more that defensive defenseman, especially at his age right now. And if he can be that guy that isn't noticeable and just gets the job done, that's a pretty big win for St. Louis. And I also want to touch on a little bit of the defense there with both Pietrangelo and Parayko. Pietrangelo had an amazing series defensively and offensively. He looked like the captain stepping up for St. Louis, and he definitely put on that big role for them. Parayko, still very solid defense. Has been pretty underweighted, I would still say. He had a great series as well, and those two top guys were getting it done for St. Louis all series long.
Oh, yeah, boy. So we're going to be seeing St. Louis and Dallas Stars in the second round.
Oh, my gosh.
That'll be That's a fun cool. one. All right, let's move on to, unfortunately, Jay couldn't join us here, but...
the Avs fan.
It's Jay, the Avs fan. His Colorado Avalanche destroy the Calgary Flames in a series in which Mike Smith was the best player for the Flames.
Yeah, that was probably the craziest part. Now, I'm going to say this right now, this is probably the series I've watched the least, but Colorado just up and down. I mean, obviously the first line for Colorado, it was split up a little bit, I think, throughout the series. It had a pretty good one. I think the goaltending for Colorado was pretty underrated. The defense got it done. But for Calgary, man, where did Goudreau go? Where did Monahan go?
Oh, like, did you see that thing. Last game where Goudreau had all the chances in the world?
Yes, like, that was insane.
All the chances in the world. You had a penalty shot, whiff. You had a breakaway, whiff. One-timers, whiff. Like, what are you doing? Like, who? Like, what did you have pregame? Did you not have your ham and cheese sandwich before the games? Like, did they take all the bologna away? Like, I don't know what happened to Goudreau there. But, like, the thing is, like, right now, like, people are super hating on him. But, like, no, he's 25 years old. Like, he's a small guy. I know 25 seems kind of old now in today's NHL, but, like, think about it, like, 10 years ago, like, 25 was like, yo, you probably just came into the NHL, like, a year ago.
You're a rookie.
Yeah, like, you just, like, thinking about it now, it's, like, not playing, like, this is, like, such a cliche thing, but, like, the playoffs are such a different beast. Like, some players step up. McKinnon, I definitely think he's the best player, second best player in the world right now.
Best player left in the playoffs.
Yeah, 100%. And he was unbelievable. We'll get into him in a second. But, like, for Calgary's side, it just seemed like a lot of players, like, they get to this level and they just stopped. Like, you know, like, Monahan, like, he just seemed kind of invisible out there. Goudreau, like, you notice Goudreau, but you notice Goudreau, you know, not finishing, you know? Like, Elias Lindholm looked like he was trying so hard that he over-tried, if that's even a thing, you know? Like, you just see him skating so hard that he'll skate past. Like, I saw him skate past, like, 10 pucks, and it was like, dude, it's behind you. Like, what? Like, where are you going? He just missed the things that he did in the regular season to make himself a good player, an impact player, he just wasn't doing. I want to point out that Giordano was good, but I don't think he matched Eric Johnson on the other side, which is, I know, a bold move, Cotton. We'll see if it works out for him, but I don't think he matched him at all. Like, I don't know. I wasn't impressed with him. You can get the puck out all you want, but if you're throwing it up to zones that are just going to be gobbled up by Colorado's defense, like, you know, they're playing a 1-4. Why are you going to throw it up? What? Skate it up once in a while, dude. Like, you got to skate it. You got to take it in. It's your team. You take it in. Like,
I think the defense for Colorado is pretty underrated in that series. Tyson Berry had an excellent one, both offensively and defensively. Eric Johnson got that over, I'm pretty sure, the overtime goal or something like that. He was pretty clutch as well. I just think overall,
Ian Cole,
defensively.
Cole, did you see his almost breakaway and then Ben Cole?
I think so, yeah.
When have you ever heard Ian Cole get a breakaway? That was his first breakaway of his career.
Really?
Yeah, in the playoffs.
Oh, I was going to say, how did he not get one in Pittsburgh anyway?
Yeah, no, he was really good. Yeah, the whole Avs defense. Let's get into the Avalanche, man.
What a series, by the way.
One question for you. Is Mikko Rantanen still underrated?
He is still overrated. He had a better series. MacKinnon was the best player on the earth. I'm sorry. He was the best player on the earth in that series.
Dude, he's so good. There was moments. So what's kind of funny? So I'm watching this game and I have the volume down really low. And MacKinnon would take a shot, and my dog would like be like, his ears would raise, and he'd be like, when he would miss a shot on the boards, it just sounded like someone was shooting someone in my house. That's how hard he was shooting the puck. Like, this man, and he was doing moves you just don't see. Like this guy was just moving at a different speed, where when he was on the power play, it was so fun to watch. He'd be on the right side, right circle, coming into the zone and do this like weird like juke deke thing with his shoulder and his head. He looked like he was moving his whole body and his feet at the same time, and then unleashed this shot like a Kamehameha and just like shoot this thing top shelf. It was nuts. He was doing this all at the same time. Like, I can't even chew bubblegum and walk, and this man was like skating with knives on his shoes and shooting a tire. Like, what is going on?
Hockey players are just insane in general.
Like, those are just moves that you just can't do, and this man was doing them. Like, that's the only moves I could see Connor McDavid doing, and you don't see Connor McDavid making like this power kind of move that MacKinnon was doing. Like, MacKinnon has this size. He's built like a tank. He's like a skill tank.
And he works at Tim Hortons, which is very valuable.
Yeah, he sounds like such a little girl. I never heard, someone's gonna hate on me for being drinking the haterade here, but I've never heard Nathan MacKinnon talk before, but man, yeah, I was expecting him to be like, oh yeah, we went out there, and he was like, yeah, we went out there and we were, and he had like a lisp, and it was like, nothing wrong with having a lisp, but it's kind of
weird how many NHL players is like, holy crap, he sounds really weird.
He sounds like you expect these guys to just sound like men. this guy just sounded like, he literally just sounded like a wimp. Like, I don't know. I know someone's gonna hate on me. I don't mean that like in like an aggressive manner. It's just you don't expect it. I didn't expect it. After everything he does, all the power things he does, you expect him to be like Superman, and he just sounded like the Flash.
Get out of here, Mark Giordano. I'm coming for you.
I could only imagine him being on the ice and just being like, get out of here.
I gotta go to your mom and complain.
Yeah, that's the best thing I could do. But no, Nathan MacKinnon was unreal. Landeskog, the captain.
He was fantastic.
He's coming up big. People wanted to trade him 2 years ago, you remember? Mikko Rantanen. Dude, you stop saying that he's overrated.
He is.
How are you going to tell me he's overrated?
Well, I'm going back to the overtime winner. That one was a great setup play by Landeskog and MacKinnon on that. I'm pretty sure it was on the power play. I can't remember completely. The other goal I'm pretty sure he scored in that game, that two-goal performance, was a tip-in, so is what it is. I think with Rantanen, he is a solid player, but I just see too many people right now calling him this elite player that's like, on par with Meek, or on par with like Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog in like an overall play, and that's just my whole thing. I think he's better than
Landeskog.
Not in the first round. Landeskog had an amazing first round, in my opinion. Though they all work together.
Yeah, they all work together really good. Tyson Barrie, like you mentioned, had a really good series. Ian Cole, amazing defensively. Eric Johnson, hey, Eric Johnson's still around. I think people forget about Eric Johnson.
Yeah, he's a pretty forgettable defenseman. But with a name like Eric Johnson, like how are you?
Yeah,
supposed to
yeah, that's like the most like that's like John, that's like Jack, that's like Jack Johnson, who's also forgettable. We'll talk about him later. Grubauer, great goaltending. You mentioned very underrated goaltending. I agree with that. He made some clutch saves when it needed to be. That penalty shot, he just stopped Goudreau. But yeah, Colorado's moving on to the next round. Boy.
Onto the craziness. Boy. That was San Jose Vegas. Holy crap.
This was such a dirty series.
It was.
This was such a dirty, grimy, disgusting, gritty. I can't think of any other adjectives.
Just Ryan Reeves versus Evander Kane itself was just.
Like, and they fought. They fought. They fought. Right. They fought.
Yeah.
This series was such. Seemed like it was like a 4 week long like war. Like this was like the war of like the desert war, the desert war of 2019. I lived through it. Like, like there was just so much going on. I don't even know what to unpack. I mean, Joe Thornton can't see. Ryan Reeves is calling him out needing glasses. like calling the greatest playmaker, I would say, in NHL history.
Like, this was probably the most, like, I'm going to be honest, this was probably the most eventful series, maybe in, like, I would honestly say maybe first round NHL history. Like, how, like, just how many storylines came out of it? Like, the just the Gerard Gallant and DeBoer situation, they were going out against each other. The Ryan Reeves, Evander Kane thing, the Joe Thornton suspension, the crazy collapse by Vegas, the crazy comeback by San Jose. There was just so much to go in with this one.
Yeah, you start. I don't know where to start off with the series.
Vegas had a 3-2 lead, and it did not go too well.
All right, hey, they had a 3-1 lead, actually. So funny story.
I'm depressed.
So we're in game 7. We're talking about game 7, the game 7 collapse. So I am watching. I just got home. I was watching the Leafs game. We'll talk about that later too. I get home and I was watching Umbrella Company with my girlfriend, and she goes, and I'm like, oh, look at this. Have you seen Umbrella Company, by the way? It's a great Netflix show. I like it. You know, I don't need your dumb opinion. So I turned it off and I'm like, oh, look, Vegas and the Sharks are on, and I see Vegas is up 3-1, and I turn it on my phone. I don't have the volume on, and I'm thinking to myself, man, there's only like 8 minutes left. I'm like, man, this could be Joe Thornton's last game. I'm like, dude, this could be Joe Pavelski's last game as a Shark. I'm like, they could just lose Carlson. I'm like, oh my god, like, Jones is probably gonna get traded too. I'm like, this is unbelievable. And I was writing this down on my pad for this podcast that we were gonna do. And I was like writing all this down, and this was like a 5 minute like thing of me pondering. I turn the game, I look at the game, and I'm like, oh, it's 4-3. It's 4-3.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And like, I look at this score, and all you see is Marchessault just barking at the ref. I didn't even see Joe Pavelski. You saw the Joe Pavelski thing. So
yeah.
So this was all off of 5 minute major. I didn't realize that this was off of 5 minute major.
Basically, Vegas was up 3-1, I believe. I can't remember all the details. It was about I think it was like 8 minutes left, something like that. So Cody Eakin off the faceoff was going with Joe Pavelski. Cody Eakin comes off, cross checks Joe Pavelski. Joe Pavelski loses balance, goes off of Paul Stastny, and just gets rocked by the ice. There was blood coming out of his helmet. It was very gruesome. And after that, the refs assigned a major on that play, which was obviously the most controversial thing about that series. Now, Cody Eakin cross-checked Pavelski. That alone should have been the penalty right there. But then Pavelski went off Stastny weirdly and then kind of just dived back, losing his balance, and then just completely collapsed on his head and his lower body there. And that whole sequence was just so crazy because, yes, Joe Pavelski had blood coming out of his head, but it wasn't because of Cody Eakin. It wasn't because of Cody Eakin that he was doing all that. And a 5 minute major, yes, he did draw blood, and that is a big thing, obviously, the NHL goes for. But Cody Eakin should have never gotten a 5 minute major there. I think he should have gotten 2 minutes, and that should have been it. But the big thing here is, if Vegas actually had somewhat of a decent penalty kill, we wouldn't be having this conversation, really.
That penalty, go back on the penalty, though, like, that's the kind of penalty that, like, a lot of people are saying, like, hey, like, have somebody from Toronto or have someone, like, looking at these plays that hasn't been in the series, that has a different eye on it, call these penalties back. Because that was blatantly a penalty that only a referee or an affiliate, like, you know, somebody calling these games would call a 5 minute major on. Because you know that how bad the series has been, you know how dirty it's been, and the likelihood understood that something like that was going to happen where someone gets pushed down, they're bleeding. And I think he saw the referee saw blood, and was like, all right, you're done. You're gone. You're out of here. Like, and it, like, I know that if – I get that. Like, Vegas was up 3-1. They shouldn't have blown a 3-1 series lead. I know. They shouldn't have – They shouldn't have given up that many goals on a power play. But think of it. If it's a double major, even because he's bleeding, like, that's still a tied game. Like, that's still a tied game and they're not on the power play. Like, even if it's just like the cross checking, like it should have been, just a regular cross check, and the referee looked at the play and sees it, and he just falls, and they just call for a two minute thing. I think Vegas kills that thing, and it's not a 5 minute major. Like, it's just a 5 minute major. It's just a totally different animal. Like, if you've ever played hockey, and if you've ever seen someone get a 5 minute major, like, in your cap, like, it's just a total, like, maybe the Sharks would have rallied over it again because it's their captain, Shel Pavelski. Like, he bleeds teal. You know, like, he does it. He does everything for that team. I get maybe the Sharks rally over that, but still, like, if you're playing hockey and you get a 5 minute major, like, dude, they just keep calming. Like, you can only switch out so many guys because dudes suck on this game. Sucks on defense. You just want to play your guy, like, and you're out there just getting demolished, man. Cody Eakin, 5 minute major. He's their top penalty killer too.
Yeah,
keep in mind,
he's a big penalty killer.
Like Belmar. Like, I think he was out with something. I'm not sure what happened there, but he's another top penalty killer. Like, you're already down your top guys, and you're gonna 5 minute major, and it just keeps coming, man. Like I said, it just keeps coming. They don't stop. They're on a. It's just so much. There was just that call just changed the game, obviously. And I mean, obviously, Vegas came. They good on them. They fought back. They scored a goal with 47 seconds left.
Beautiful March so goal.
Yep, to put it in the overtime, but it just wasn't enough. It just seemed like it was such a deflating penalty, man. It's like, even when it's kind of like, you know, you're, I don't know how to explain it. It's like you lost the war, but then there's a last battle, like a couple battles left, and you're like, I guess we won that last one, right, guys? And everyone's like, yeah. Or it's like, it's kind of like, you know, it's like Ottawa winning, going on like a 3-game winning streak at the end of the season. Like, yeah,
we did it, boys.
Oh, yeah, I guess. You know, like, it's kind of one of those kind of things. I saw that as like being in a position that as like a player, it's like, dude, man, like, you just are so pissed off at the refs. Your coach is yelling at the refs. Like, you're blaming everybody else for your mistakes, and like going into to overtime, it's like, I know, like, it kind of changed, and it's like everyone's kind of playing field, but man, I feel like the Sharks are still there, man. You know,
when it came to Vegas, they had that 3-1 series lead, and I thought they pretty much locked it up. The way they played on those first four games was just so phenomenal. They were straight dominating the San Jose Sharks in almost every single aspect, I felt. Overall, again, I just thought Vegas at that point was almost unstoppable. We obviously know what ended up happening. San Jose, I think, just kind of flipped a switch a little bit. They won some close games, obviously, in Game 7, winning 5-4 in overtime, but they were just able to just barely get it done. Martin Jones kind of just became decent again. He wasn't all that great in the last couple of games, but he was good enough. The defense, just the overall goal scoring was there enough to that, so that San Jose had a chance. And again, when it comes to San Jose, they're a pretty shaky team. They had just inconsistency wise, I don't know if it's all there, but Vegas just collapsing at the wrong time when they looked just so unbeatable at one point.
Yeah, and I just want to point out, like, people are, like, hating on Fleury.
Fleury was meh.
That's what, but what I'm getting at is, like, people want to hate on him, and I'm going to jump on that wagon, too. This is, you thought I was going to fandom. You thought not. So, Fleury, you got to keep in mind, he's had, like, two good playoffs in the last, like, 10 years. Like, prior to that, like, how bad has he been in the playoffs?
Really bad.
Prior to last year and his other cup run.
Pretty much last year made so many people realize that Fleury was or so many people not realize that Fleury was as bad in the playoffs as he was. Like last year was just such a crazy year for him.
It's like people forgot that prior to 2000. So you got to keep in mind he lost the starting job to Matt Murray because he was so bad.
He was not that great.
Like, he was not good. And, like, I'm just saying, like, some of these goals, like that overtime goal that Hurdle scored shorthanded, weak.
I mean, yeah.
Weak. The third goal that tied the game in game seven. Weak. What are you doing? What are you looking at, bud? What are you looking at? Where are you going there? Where are you going on that one? Like, I know Sorensen came flying in on or not Sorensen, but I know Goudreau came flying in. He had some fresh legs there in that overtime period, and it was an OT goal. But man,
great pass by Carlson.
But the thing is, I've never been a goaltender. I can't do this. I can't do that. Whatever he does, but man, if you know the dude has no moves, and you know that he's gonna come flying, he's coming in from the right side, he's holding the puck on his forehand, and you know he's just gonna try and go around you that way. Like, dude, you have the stick right in front of you. Poke check, my dude. You've been poke checking this whole series.
Yeah,
and the one time I think that you needed to do it, you didn't do it, and he comes in. Like, I know it's a breakaway. I know people are gonna be like, "Oh, it's a breakaway. Why are you hating on the goalie for that?" Like, dude. Like, it's the one move I think you should. You've been doing this whole series. That's kind of burnt you a couple times, but you should have done it, and you didn't do it.
I think it's a collective effort with Vegas and just the defense not being all too strong. Overall in the series, I was not impressed with Nate Schmidt. I don't think he was all too great, especially defensively. I thought Theodore had a great series. He was pretty much the lone defenseman there in the last few games that was still performing. But overall, just defensively, a lot of their defensive forwards kind of struggle a little bit. Obviously, Cody Eakin got that major penalty, and he was a big penalty killer. Just, I think the nitty-gritty details is where Vegas lost in the end. Getting out-coached a little bit, just little by little, Peter DeBoer putting some very sneaky things in place. And for San Jose, just overall guys, like, just having guys like Barclay Goodrow scoring in overtime, like that shouldn't happen, but he just makes a nifty dangle and just is able to beat Vegas, and it shows the depth that San Jose has had all along. It shows that they can actually perform in the clutch moments, and again, San Jose was down 3-1, but they were able to somehow come back, and that just again shows to how crazy this series was in the end, that San Jose was able to come back from being down 3-1, which a lot of teams aren't able to do.
Yeah, this team was. I counted them out for all intents and purposes. I'm talking about the Sharks. I don't care about you Vegas fans. I don't care about you guys. You guys, ooh, we lost in the first round. Oh, such heartbreak. Ooh. Shut up.
San Jose can tell you something about playoff disappointment.
Even San Jose fans. I went after so many of these people. I went after every single one of you guys. I was so mad about the Leafs winning yesterday. Well, again, we'll get into that.
Whoa. We aren't getting into that yet. First, we need to go into the Eastern Conference and talk about, Columbus, Tampa.
Okay.
I want to say this right now. The Tampa Bay Lightning are my second favorite team, and wow. Just wow. From, I would say, game two is the game that just kind of opened my eyes to not just Tampa Bay's just ineptitude, but holy freaking crap, Columbus. And how good they were collectively as a group in that series. Offensively, Matt Duchene was an absolute monster. Panarin was getting it done a lot of the time. A lot of their depth guys like Oliver Bjorkstrand were getting it done. Nick Foligno had a solid series. When it came to just Columbus overall, defensively, Seth Jones was freaking fantastic, as always. Werenski was solid. And Sergei Bobrovsky actually had a good playoff series for basically the first time in his life, which went a long way in Columbus winning the series in the end.
Yeah, there was there was points in that series where it's like you're Stamkos and you think life is good, you know. Nope. You know, you're skating into the zone, life is good, everything's all good, and then Anderson boom right in your face. You're Kucherov. You think things are happy. You're skating over
Kucherov's
the blue.
Just suspended. He can't even.
No, you think everything's all good in your life. No, you're about to go drink some vodka tonics after this. You think everything's all happy. Boom, Foligno. like hold on, I got one more. You're headman, you think things are all good, you see a puck and you skate right by it.
I don't know what Victor Hedman alone was just frustration on a whole nother level. Now,
did he have like an eye injury?
I don't know if it was eye. It was he. I know he was hurt. I don't know
what
injury.
Because he needed glasses.
he maybe needs to get his eyes looked at after
series. I got jokes.
I think it might have been like a lower body injury or something, but I know he wasn't 100% at all, and he definitely showed that in that series. My gosh, was he bad. Like, he didn't have the greatest regular season either. Somehow he stole a Norris finalist, but in the playoffs, honestly, I wouldn't be too surprised if he end up, I wouldn't be surprised if he would probably be the worst defenseman for Tampa in that series. He was really that bad. And Vasilevskiy, I'd say, is the only, like, he was the only guy that was kind of decent in that series. Like, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't stealing games either, really.
Man, there was just so much stuff that happened in that whole series. Like, Matthew Shane, alive. Just alive, a god, absolute genius. I think Dubois, Pierre-Luc Dubois, PLD, as the guys in Colombo say. PLD taking a dump on the TBL. I think people who watch that series, like, who is this man? Like, dude, I could just hear the screams of Edmonton residents yelling. They're like, who is Pajarvi? We could have had this. You guys suck. Hope you guys are enjoying your, like, dude. There was a funny thing that they were saying that Tampa Bay has the same amount of playoff wins as the Edmonton Oilers right now, which is hilarious.
Same amount of wins as the Ottawa Senators.
Which is hilarious. So I don't know what happened. What do you think happened to Tampa Bay? Like, I don't know.
Tampa Bay just collectively as an entire team just gave up.
Just took a dump.
Like, just. Maybe they literally played their worst. They, at that point in the playoffs, had not lost three straight games in the regular season, or up to that point in the whole season. They haven't lost three straight games, and they do it four straight times, or they would have four straight losses in the playoffs to Columbus. It was just a conglomerate of just bad for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I just don't understand it.
It was just so unbelievably lazy, so unbelievably. It didn't seem like they were lazy.
It didn't seem like they were lazy, though.
I don't know.
This is like, remember I asked you about the Dallas series. I'm like, do you think that Nashville's power play was just that bad, or do you think that Dallas was that good? Like, do you think that Tampa Bay was just that bad, or do you think that Columbus was just that good?
Yeah, I don't think Tampa was like. I don't know if their performance was like the worst team in the world bad, but Columbus, I think, just collectively, defensively, that whole defense played fantastic. Guys like Nudavara, Savard, who are underrated, those guys stepped up big time. Overall, they have a lot of solid defensive forwards, especially in the bottom six, that helped a lot on the penalty kill. Again, Sergei Bobrovsky was fantastic. But freaking John Tortorella, man. Holy crap, what a series he ended up having. Just out coaching John Cooper in every single facet. And John Tortorella. That's the most insane.
Like, I think that he got into, like, there was so many post-game interviews with John Cooper where it just seemed like he was just, like, no answer. Like, there was just nothing. Like, what
answer could he give?
Like, well, even at this, like, dude, okay, say you're Tampa Bay's coach, right? I ask you, you're up at the podium, what are you guys going to do? And you sit there, and you say, oh, they just gotta play hockey. Like, what a lame ass answer. What a lame ass answer. Like, dude, I know you just gotta play. Like, no crap, bud. Like, thank you. And then he like shifted blame to some of the players, and it's like, dude, why are you gonna keep trying to shove point down everyone's throat when he can't even? He was null in that series. He was
point
null.
What? I'm one of the biggest point fans out there.
Nothing. He was nothing,
man,
in that series.
He was literally, until that game, until that game 4, he was literally a ghost.
I wrote an article about what the Tampa Bay Lightning should be doing in the offseason. Go check it out on puck77.com, by the way.
Puck77.
not a big deal. So I was literally thinking to myself, I was like, so Stamkos has had 0 points. Oh, he's only had 5 points in game sevens in, I think it was 7 game sevens. He has 0 points. In series clinching, games, he's only had about 6 points. And that's about 14 games, series clinching games. He's only had 5 points in 14 games, series clinching games.
That's not good. He is the captain of Tampa Bay, but you need to have better performances than that, obviously. He's been a guy that... there were some memes going on Twitter that the choke label is being handed to Steven Stamkos from Alex Ovechkin, and it's kind of true, I would say, with Tampa just in general. I wouldn't say they're a new Washington Capitals because Tampa obviously went to the Stanley Cup Final. They went to the Eastern Conference Final. They're not that much of a choker, but I don't know if you could really say that after getting sweep versus the second wildcard team in the Eastern Conference right now.
I think they have the... They have one of the weirdest off seasons because you don't want to move anybody off this team, but at the same time, in my article, by the way, go check it out, pucksaysome.com. I'm not gonna spoil it all, but I just said that Tampa Bay is not afraid to move their captains before. Maybe it's time to move on from Steven Stamkos.
I mean, I just think with Steven Stamkos, I'm not sure how many fits there would be with potential teams. Obviously,
are you kidding me? Come on. Come on. 8.5. He's not 32. He's 29 years old. Where are you looking at? I mean, like, that's... get your head in the game.
As, like, this 35-year-old grandpa.
Yeah, because he's been around for so long. No, but even so, I mean, your points still kind of matter. I mean, 29 years old, but he still scored 40-something goals this year. He had 80-something, 90-something points. I don't know how many points he had, but still pretty good production year. You can move him out for a thing. I mean, I don't want to go into that whole conversation, what you can do, but...
Austin Matthews for Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, no. But anyway, Tampa Bay gets swept by Columbus. Everyone saw that coming. Yes. I don't want to talk about Toronto yet, so let's go look at a different series.
let's save Toronto Boston for last because I already know that's going to be like the most
let's talk about the other sweep. I feel like these teams that got swept haven't played in forever and I forgot they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, it feels like forever since like the New York Islanders sweep the Pittsburgh Penguins. It seems like that was like a month ago, honestly. And that whole series just went by in a blast. Like, I had the Pittsburgh Penguins going to the Eastern Conference Final. I thought they were going to have a pretty solid playoff run. But the New York Islanders apparently had different ideas and just had a crazy run over Pittsburgh. One of the big takeaways I had from that series was just the lack of Sidney Crosby. He had one assist in that whole series. And while obviously he's still a good defensive player, he has that to his name, I still think when it comes to the classic Sidney Crosby playoffs that we know and we've seen for the past few years, I didn't see that this year. And that could be a big sign of maybe a little bit of a decline for Sidney Crosby. I mean, he did have a
come on
season, 95 points.
Come on. Don't give me one assist. Don't give me that. You're going to tell me that after having a 100-point season, I guess this is the decline of Sidney Crosby.
Wait, did he have 100 or was it?
He had 100 points this season. Yeah, nobody even knew that he had 100 points this season. Just Sidney Crosby. Everyone wants to tell me, oh, he's not the best player in the league. It's Connor McDavid. But he had 100 points this season. Quietest 100 points. He had the quietest 100 point season. How funny is that? You didn't even know Sidney Crosby had 100 points.
Yeah, I thought he had 95.
No, he had 100 points. Give the guy a freaking break. How many times has he put this team on his back? And I know that you want Sidney Crosby here all the time. Like, where's Malkin?
Well, I'm pretty sure he was banged up.
Where's Kessel?
Kessel could be traded again this season.
Where is Rutherford coming in and knowing that this team is bereft on defense?
Rutherford is just dumb. Dumb with some moves.
Oh, okay, so we mentioned the lamest people in the world, Jack Johnson. this dude. When Pittsburgh won their cups, how would you describe them?
Fast, speedy, talented, tenacious.
What kind of players are Gudbranson, besides tenacious? What kind of players are Jack Johnson, Gudbranson, and Mata?
Okay, players in the AHL.
They're slow players that take forever to move the puck up. So when you add a team that makes their money, and not only that, they got rid of Connor Sherry, which is gonna slow up your team. They have players that aren't up to speed, and you have a back end that is built with maybe one player, Chris Letang, that can move the puck up. Dubalin can move the puck up a little quick. But other than that, like, you have a team that's made for speed that lost their identity. And that was blatantly played by Barry Trotz and the New York Islanders that knew this team couldn't get the puck up, but they wanted to be up there. So what are you going to do? You're going to sandwich them in the middle. Simple freaking math. Like there's no...
Quick maths.
Yeah, we're math guys here. What do you get? 0 + 0 = what?
1-0.
So and that's how many wins that the Pittsburgh Penguins got this playoffs.
Got them.
I'm just saying. I think New York played that game perfectly. Like, you're gonna sandwich two forwards in between. What are you gonna? All you gotta do is corner Gudbranson with two guys and with a tight forecheck. And what is he gonna do? He's gonna dump it into the middle of the ice, turn it over to you, and you have possession again. How many times did you see that with Mata? Flip corner him in his corner. He'll dump it around the boards. Turnover. Eberle scores. How many times did you see Chris Letang try and throw it up, but the forwards are so back now because they don't trust their players that they can't even get out of their zone? It totally killed the Pittsburgh Penguins. They killed themselves with the personnel that they did. And it was a quick decline that people should have saw coming. I did. I chose in my bracket. That's the only reason. That's the only thing I got right.
I think with the Pittsburgh Penguins, especially with Jim Rutherford, he is maybe the most weird GM in the NHL, because he'll go out and make moves like drafting guys like Connor Sherry, getting guys like Gensel, training for guys like Phil Kessel. Anyway, well, that was back then, but training guys like Phil Kessel. Yeah, training guys for like Phil Kessel and getting all these guys together, winning two cups. Like, the guy has two cups with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He makes all these spectacular moves, but just like a year later, gets Eric Branson, maybe the worst defenseman in the NHL. Of Jack Johnson, who maybe is the second worst defenseman in the NHL.
Signed into a 4-year contract.
Exactly. Gudbranson has 2 more years left.
I totally forgot about Justin Schultz. He can move the puck up, but I also think he had a year that was, he was injured for the majority of it.
Yeah.
And I think he came back and he just wasn't the same. He needs to take a year off. I give him the benefit of the doubt. But even him, like, he struggled. You know, he struggles defensively, and his skill set is to get the puck in and out of the zone. If he's playing, anybody who plays with Olli Maatta, God bless them.
Olli Maatta had hype around him in like 2016 or something, way back then.
No.
Like, ever since then, he's kind of just no.
Yeah. I've always hated his play. It's like banging your head against a brick wall sometimes with that dude. Like he'll skate with the puck, and then like he's looking at you like, I don't know what, I've seen it before because we have Ron Hainsey, but I've seen it where Olli Maatta will be skating the puck up, and you know this play where picture a guy from behind your net, he skates it up a little bit, has a winger on the right side, has a center swooping in for a right wing swing, and he just doesn't pass it to the guy for the play, and it's like, why are you still holding it? Like, get rid of the puck. And then by that time, you already have the forechecker coming in on him, and he'll shift, turn around, and toss it over to the other defenseman, and God bless them if they're ready.
Yeah, honestly, like, just the defense in general, like, Chris Letang had an amazing season, but just overall, yes, Schultz was banged up. Dumoulin is still solid, especially, I think, overall. But just the plain fact that Jack Johnson and Erik Gudbranson are still... I'm going to go a little bit of a hot take here. I think if Alimata, Jack Johnson, and Erik Gudbranson are all three of those guys are on the team next season, the Pittsburgh Penguins will miss the playoffs. That is my hot take right there. I think having those guys is just so detrimental to
I know every single season that if the Penguins don't win the cup, it's like, oh, they're gonna trade Malkin. I think this is the year
Malkin gets traded.
I think this is the year they trade Malkin, because you move 9.5 out, you can fix that defense by trading Malkin, and you still have a pretty good offense.
Get Erik Karlsson for that money. Karlsson of Pittsburgh, oh my god.
I mean, I think it would be decent. I mean, as long as you have Sidney Crosby on that team, you should be contending for cups. And I mean, I know Karlsson's going to be 29. I know Letang's going to be 31. I know these guys are going to be a little bit older. But at the same time, it's like, dude, like, F it, man. You have Phil Kessel, Crosby, Karlsson, like Kessel. Like, I mean, I don't know. It seems kind of cool.
Karlsson at a Penguins jersey would be so weird.
It would. It would remind me of Hainsey, and I don't want to think of Hainsey. all right, let's go on to the series that just happened tonight.
All right, Canes versus Capitals. This one was very competitive going to game 7. The Carolina freaking Hurricanes, those freaking bunch of jerks, getting out and going to the second round. Again, an Islanders Hurricane series is going to be fun. But this series was probably one that I watched a little bit less or so than some other ones, but it was still freaking entertaining when I did see it.
Oh, dude, I have a buddy, shout out to Isaiah Dupre in Carolina. He's one of my best friends. He's one of the biggest Carolina Hurricanes fans you'll ever meet in my life. He actually met Hamilton the pig. He met the pig.
I know, that thing is amazing.
Yeah, he met that thing. When I was talking with him about these playoffs, like last time they made the playoffs was in 2009, and we always make the joke where, like, every time the Hurricanes make the playoffs, like, they go super far and win the cup. They'll either go to the conference finals and lose, or they'll win the cup. And I'm like, there's no way in hell that they're gonna lose to the Capitals. And everybody that laughed at me, they're like, oh, it's just the Hurricanes. I'm like, no, these Hurricanes, when they make the playoffs, they get this juice. I don't know what they drink. I don't know what they're drinking. This Carolina,
Justin Williams juice or something.
I was just about to say, they get this Justin Williams juice, and they just get going. How clutch is Justin Williams?
Pretty clutch.
I think
he might have a nickname, Mr. Game 7,
for a reason. For a reason. There's no way. You just can't make these things up. It's like, oh man, we're gonna get into Destiny in a second, but I'm making jokes, but I'm really depressed.
Okay, I'll save you a little bit of time before we talk about that series. I mean, you might know what I'm talking about. But with Carolina, I was really impressed up and down. Now, before the game 7, each home team won the game. So I was thinking that trend might not continue, because it was something that was kind of weird. Because when it came to home ice advantage, it really wasn't that plentiful throughout this whole playoffs. But Carolina ended up getting it done in Washington, which was very fun to see. Again, that Brock McGinn goal, which was so weird. A tip in right in front. Justin Williams, Mr. Game 7, putting it right in front. It was a very wacky play, but in second overtime, it was going down the wire. And it was honestly just a very entertaining series throughout the whole thing. Two energetic teams. Washington, of course, want to go back and get another Stanley Cup. Carolina, this up and coming bunch of jerks team. It was just a fun series, and I think whoever came out of it, I would have been fine with. I'm starting to like Carolina a lot with their overall franchise. I've always liked Washington as a team, so it was just a fun series overall. And Carolina moving on to round 2 is something that I didn't expect. It isn't absolutely crazy, but I really am happy for that franchise, and of course the fan base that totally deserves it.
All I want is Boston to get out of these playoffs, and then we can have, imagine the Islanders winning the playoffs.
They could go to, let's say Boston loses to Columbus, I wouldn't be surprised if New York goes to the Stanley Cup Finals.
What is this playoff? This is like one of these playoffs that are just like
literally every single wildcard team advanced. That's how crazy it is. That's like, the first time. That's the first time in NHL history, I'm pretty sure.
Like whatever.
It's crazy. It is absolutely insane.
Who cares? Who cares? All right.
Pretty much the only top T2 advance. We are going on to this series.
Okay.
Nico, I'll let you do your thing, I guess.
Alright, so by the way, so Carolina's gonna be going against New York in the second round. Carolina won that series tonight. In overtime, double overtime, long night. We were supposed to do this podcast like 2 hours ago.
Yeah. Freaking Carolina, man, they couldn't score like.
Yep. Okay. I guess we're here. If you haven't noticed this whole podcast, I've been like delightfully jabbing at the series. Boston beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in Game 7. In Game 7, they couldn't even give me and all the Leafs fan the humor to win 4-1. They had to score 5 goals and
win 5-1. Was that Marchand or something?
Marchand had to do it. It would have been perfect if it was Bergeron to score the empty netter.
Yes.
I just raised my hands to the sky. I don't know. There's just so much to happen. Connor Brown played more minutes than Austin Matthews.
That's not good.
Jake Gardner and Travis Dermott as a pairing is like wearing two different shoes, and they both have holes. They're just
like basically a roller coaster ride.
There's bad. There's more.
Trevor Moore, good player.
There's more. He should have played a lot more.
He was fantastic. Holy crap, he is good.
Patrick Marleau, God bless his soul. I love Patrick Marleau. I've loved Patrick Marleau for his whole career. Don't get me wrong. When I heard Patrick Marleau signed with the Toronto Maple Leafs, I was like an inch away from getting his jersey. Then I realized I was poor. Anyway, Patrick Marleau, he needs to stop playing hockey. He's so bad. And, you know, he played 2 minutes less. He played a minute and 54 seconds in the last 2 minutes of that Game 7. John Tavares, Austin Matthews, they each played 18 minutes in a Game 7. I want Babcock to be fired. This was what utterly the most embarrassing. Like, I shouldn't. No, last year was pretty embarrassing, but that was like you lose those games, and that just happens. It was just a Leaf thing to happen, you know. Like, for them to lose 5-1 in against the Boston Bruins, if you're Mike Babcock, how are you gonna play this fourth line of Gauthier, Trevor Moore? Don't get me, Trevor Moore is awesome, but how are you gonna play Patrick Marleau any more than like 2 minutes? How are you gonna play Gauthier? Gauthier played a playoff high for him, 10 minutes. 10 minutes. How are you not gonna play Austin Matthews, John Tavares, and Mitch Marner on a line when they're all clicking? How are you not gonna do that? You need to win. Why are you spreading out minutes? Why are you spreading out minutes in the third period? Why is Gauthier on the ice in the third period?
I would assume for some like defensive faceoffs at least.
He can't win faceoffs.
I don't know.
Why is he out there? I don't understand it.
He was okay, I guess.
No, shut your mouth. You don't know. You don't know anything. I understand that Toronto's defense is bad, but Jesus Christ, dude. Like, I can't. I love Gardner. I can't wait till Gardner's not a Leaf. Like, this has been. There's three straight first round playoffs. Exits in a row for these Leafs, man. Like, three straight. Like, people are like, oh, they're so young. That's still three straight first-round exits. That's two straight. Two straight game seven losses to the Boston Bruins. You're probably going to go against them next year.
Probably.
You're probably going to go against them next year unless Tampa takes
taking a big step
back or anything. Unless Tampa takes a huge step back. Like, unless that happens, like, you're not going to win this division. Like, or maybe the Leafs take a big step forward. But, like, this loss just amplifies how poor the coaching has been this whole season. The decisions to not play, like, just play Marner with Matthews once. I don't know. Once? Maybe that'd be cool. I wouldn't.
Okay, I just feel Marner with Tavares was just such a dynamic duo for the whole thing. I think
that's cool. That's cool. I understand that. That's cool. But at the same time, I'm talking about in the playoffs. Like right now. Like in the playoffs. Like if the Tavares and Marner in line isn't working, like, and you see that Matthews is clicking and Marner isn't, me and you aren't cocky coaches in the NHL, but in the playoffs, you would think, hey, maybe we'll play those two together, you know? Maybe throw maybe double ship Matthews and play him with another team. I don't know. It was just the coaching decisions on this team, and this is not like I would have said if the Leafs would have won a tight, like maybe like a 3-2 win, like I still would have been like, why is Gauthier out there for more than a minute? I still would have been like, why is Marleau out there playing? And the thing that pisses me off is that Babcock comes out there the next day and he says, I just think Marleau deserved to be out there. What? How? How did you have a, and I'm going to steal this from Steve Dangle. You have an analytics team that works for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Somebody, God's sake, give Babcock a tablet. Give him like, they look at things on this, Mike, and just give it to him.
They touch it.
They touch these things, Mike, and they're called analytics. Nope, not the other word. Bad, Mike. No, analytics. And they show him, this is bad, Marleau. Bad. I think, like
bad
last
compilation of Patrick
like
Marleau.
What Kyle Dubas did last year was get rid of Komarov, get rid of Martin, and get rid of Bozak. And JVR. I love JVR, but he got rid of those guys so that Komarov wasn't playing on the first line anymore. He got rid of them. Funny thing is, they're in the second round now.
Yeah.
Every single one of them, besides JVR.
Komarov was actually pretty good with the Islanders, not gonna lie. He was actually pretty good.
Like, every single one of those guys that were deemed useless on the Leafs, and I'm gonna take that stance. I'm gonna die in this hill. Like, every one of those players that were deemed useless to the Leafs are suddenly amazing, not amazing, but suddenly really important pieces on other teams, and I think they could have been, if you're gonna play your fourth line these important minutes, how are you not gonna have Komarov, Martin, or Bozak out there? If you're going to play your third or fourth line that many minutes, you would think you'd want those kind of players, right? And that's what boggles my mind.
Probably the most probably the most confused, not maybe not the time on ice thing. It is, I think, a little bit overblown, obviously. He
Get
should
out
be
of here.
For that.
Get out of
no,
here.
No, I need to first mention that third line of Marleau, Brown, and Nylander. Having Nylander on that line was just, because I've seen a lot of Nylander hate since that game 7, and I just want to say, how is he supposed to produce there with literally maybe the two worst forwards on the team at that point?
Did you see that play where Marleau made a decent, he actually made a good pass and Nylander wasn't even paying attention?
It was like
the second period of game 6. So Marleau finally makes a decent pass to
the first time.
Yeah. And Nylander was like looking up in the stands at somewhere, and then he realized, "Oh, I'm in the playoffs," and put his stick down. And he missed the pass. Like, he wasn't even looking. I don't know.
Well, he didn't have the greatest playoffs, but I don't think he's like the reason the Leafs lost.
No, he's definitely not, but he's a contributing factor. I didn't even talk about Kadri. By the way,
that's how crazy the series is, because we didn't even talk about Kadri yet.
Yeah, by the way, I mean, thanks, Kadri. Thanks a lot, dude. 2 years in a row. How are you? Like, just sitting there doing nothing with your life in the press box. Like, how how are you going to let your teammates down 2 years in a row? Like, we could have definitely used you in game six. How are you, like, now I'm saying we, I'm not part of the Maple Leaf organization. I take that back. The Maple Leafs. How are you going to let the Maple Leafs down in the playoffs like that? You have had the longest, you better have the longest shower, look in the mirror thing you've ever had in your life. Like, you're lucky if you're going to be on this team next season, because that not only did you let down, like, the Maple Leafs as themselves, but you let down the entire fan base. And, like, I'm going to say, and I know, like, I know you're going to be like, oh, well, just crazy Leaf fan, like, taking that stand.
I think Kadri should be gone. I think he will be gone. I just don't see Toronto keeping a guy that did something as bad as that. Now, I think DeBrus should have gotten suspended too, but what Kadri did was should have definitely been suspended. I think I agree with the suspension length, and just having that.
Even rest if of the series. On. What kind even of, if Toronto what kind of dumb on. Thing is that? The rest of series. Like, give him his three games, and how are you gonna give him rest of series and not give DeBrus anything though? Like, not even
a penalty. That was
exactly
the worst thing.
Exactly. Not even a penalty. You're gonna give him nothing. Like, give him a suspension too if you're gonna do that. Like,
and he was a big factor in game six, of course.
And yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, if Kadri's back in game six, like, I think they just took the easy route on there. But Kadri put himself in that situation, and yeah, he should have been reined in. And it all goes back to Mike Babcock sitting there, like, rein your players in. Rein Kadri in. If Kadri is, if you know Kadri's going to be a crazy animal out there, like, don't play him. Don't play him against DeBrusk.
Yeah, that was the word. Why is he going out with DeBrusk?
Why is he out there against DeBrusk? You know those two are going to try and kill each other, but you keep doing it. Like, it's just idiotic. And obviously, and I don't know. It just keeps going back to Mike Babcock. I'm not saying that Mike Babcock caused Kadri to go out there and blow a gasket and just see the red mist and attack DeBrusk. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it's Mike Babcock's coaching decisions that put Dermott up against Dermott and Gardner up against top scoring lines. It is Mike Babcock's coaching decision to play Matthews and Tavares under 18 minutes or over a little bit over 18 minutes. And then play the fourth line. They wasted time in the offensive zone. They didn't get any shots. They played 8 minutes, and he said, oh, they were great. They had possession, yeah, but did they take any shots? No. Did they waste time in the offensive zone? Yeah. Did they waste Morgan Riley's excellence in these playoffs? Yep.
Morgan Riley was fantastic. Like, he was probably maybe, I think he was the best player overall in Game 7. That's not saying too much because there wasn't a lot of players that played all too well, but Morgan Riley, I want to shout out him because he still played great.
He played amazing, and they wasted it. This was a waste of a year, in my opinion.
Wasted Freddie Anderson. He didn't have the greatest Game 7, obviously, but during that series, I think he was mostly the MVP.
You have two more years of Freddie Anderson left.
Time is ticking.
Two more years.
I could seriously see him leaving. Like, if a team,
I would.
I don't know.
How I would old leave. Would be. He would. I think he's 29 now. He's gonna be like 31.
I still think he's gonna get paid, man.
He is gonna get paid. There's no doubt. Goalies last a lot longer. But either way, I'm just fed up with this. Like, I know that, like, oh, like, the Leafs have missed the playoffs for so long. You should be grateful they're in the playoffs. Like, no, I want success. This is one of the best young cores in hockey, and they're gonna lose 3 years in a row in the first round. Stop comparing them to Washington. I don't want to have Washington where they win when I'm 31 years old.
You don't want to have that comparison.
I don't want to sit here and wait till I'm 31 years old to win a cup. Like, no, I know not to make rash decisions, but, like, dude, like, if this young core hasn't gotten it done in 3 years, I know 3 years seems like nothing, but three first round exits and two against the same team, that would your team, what team adds John Tavares and Jake Muzzin still loses? The Leafs.
A lot.
Yeah, the friggin' Leafs do. Like, I know I'm super like, I'm not going to be like you are, like, oh yeah, the you would tell me, you could ask me questions about the Leafs, I'm just going to be like, this is like, this team is just like,
this team is ruining my life.
This team is literally like, it's not even joking. When you see Steve Dangle's kind of stuff, like, that is literally like Leaf fans. Like, that's not even kidding. Like, I'm literally like he literally is the definition of Leaf fans. Like, I'm a very pessimistic Leaf fan where it's like, I didn't say anything bad about them this entire season besides Ron Hainsey. Oh, God, Ron Hainsey's horrible, by the way.
Playoffs, I mean, he was meh.
Who else are you going to play, dude? Like, who else are you gonna play, man? Like, next year Sandin and Liljegren are gonna be like, they're gonna fill in, and I'm gonna be so happy because they're gonna be able to move the puck.
That's gonna be great. Oh my, just Riley, Dermott, Liljegren, and Sandin. Holy crap, that's gonna be so good. But the thing with me for Toronto is that I wanted progress this year. I think some of the reasons that last year wasn't like absolutely terrible, and the result because of it was that we would have progress of Toronto this season. That was the hope that was always there. Getting Tavares, getting Jake Muzzin. It was seen as the year they had to get out of the first round, right? They just had to be able to do it. And versus the Boston Bruins, yes, Boston had the better seed. They were like, I think, the second ranked overall team. But I had Toronto going to the Stanley Cup final. I saw them having a very good playoffs, a lot of things clicking, but just the execution down the stretch with that game six, I think that was kind of just a deflator for them, losing it at home the way they did. Guys like Jake DeBrusk getting it back, that's just something a lot, like, team morale wise is hard to come back from, and just not making the progress that they should have by now, I think, is the worst thing. Yes, they are a young core. Auston Matthews is still a young guy. Mitch Marner is still a young guy. But you want to see some progress at least. Losing versus Boston in Game 7 again, like, what progress did they make? They didn't blow a 4-1 lead? Like, they didn't even score four goals in the Game
7. That's what I'm saying. Progress. That's exactly what I'm saying. And, like, again, I'm going to go back. I'm going to ring this bell till there's no bell left. Like, Mike Babcock. Like, you need Mike Babcock to be your best guy. Is that wrong?
In Game 7 situations, no.
Yeah, that's not wrong to say. Like, in Game 7, if it was Dallas and Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn played 18 minutes, and I don't know, and Jason Spezza played 10 minutes, like, are you blowing a gasket, aren't you? Like, you're blowing an absolute gasket because it just makes no sense. And Jason Spezza is better than the players that I mentioned earlier. It's worth, like, I mean, it's just dumb coach. It was just horrible coaching, and like, whether, and again, there's power plays too. Power plays, like, they didn't score on the power plays either. Like,
I agree with Steve Dangle that what he said, that like one of the coaches, whether it's like special teams, Mike Babcock or whatever, has to be let go. It has to be some sort of change there. I feel. I feel like that is something that will desperately help them next season in the playoffs as well, is just getting a fresh face in there that can actually get something done. I mean, that's just the power play in the last couple of games was just brutal. Like, the penalty
kill. Why is Patrick Marleau out there?
Like, that was the biggest thing to me, is like, sometimes the power play can be a little bit confusing with Dallas. Sometimes there's going to be a guys out there that I don't exactly enjoy. But Patrick Marleau being on the power play for Toronto, a team like Toronto who has so much more firepower, I think, than Dallas offense.
How was Trevor Moore not on the power play? How was Trevor Moore not out there?
The way he was playing, he should have been out there for sure.
Like, why? Like, why, again, why are you playing? Why are you playing Nylander at center in the playoffs when you should be playing? When you should be playing Nylander up with Matthews, and at least in Game 7, man, at least in Game 7.
I think a lot of it, I think it's kind of somewhat similar to to Vegas' collapse in the way that in Game 7, just little tiny mistakes just ended up defeating Toronto. I failed.
No.
The fashion they lost, but like
with this Toronto. Destiny. It was like destiny, man. It was like Game 7, Boston versus Toronto.
In the garden.
Like, you could have, like, I wish I would have put money down against the Leafs. I was going to. I was like, you can't see what I'm doing right now, but I was like this close. I was like so close to putting down $1,000 on the puck line. I was going to say they're going to win by one goal, and I would have lost that bet, but I mean, like, I still would have, like, gotten some money out of it because they would have won. Like this, like, I don't know. There's, I'm just depressing about these. So I didn't get to talk about it earlier, but after the Leafs lost, I was and the Vegas Golden Knights lost. I was going after all their fans. I was going after every single fan base there was out there. I lost like 10 followers because I was just yelling at other fan bases. I was being that fan that was like, "You still have zero cups, San Jose. You have."
Be like a Capitals fan, like having the Ovechkin gif saved on your computer.
I was just being so negative. I'm sorry, anybody that I offended in my 2-hour rant at 1 a.m. I'm sorry. I said that Mark Stone looks like Mario. Like, I don't
actually,
know.
I kind of see that actually. Don't worry.
I was like, I believe I said Marc-Andre Fleury, like, must be cousins with a beach ball. Like, there was just so much. I don't know. I was just so annoyed. I'm done with. I don't want to talk about the Leafs series anymore.
It's just, I mean, the Leafs are my four favorite team. I just want to see progress from them. And that's just the most deflating thing, is that we didn't see that progress. Tavares, Muzzin, you should get progress with those guys, right? But just in the end, that I think is the most disappointing part. Not the downfall by Mike Babcock or whatever. I just think the overall result, I think, obviously the overall result is the most disappointing part. But just the expectations that they had after getting guys like John Tavares and then just losing the same way again, I think is just the most cruel part.
It's dumb. All right, let's choose our second round picks right now. So when we come back after the second round, we could talk about them. Also, we're going to be doing how the podcast is going to work. We're going to come back after every round. So, so it's going to be like another week and a half till you see us or hear us. Maybe everyone gets swept. All right,
next week.
Yeah, all right, we'll see you next week. All right, go. Who do you want to choose first?
Dallas, St. Louis, St. Louis in six.
St. Louis, you're really. Why are you so down on Dallas? I think.
I had Dallas... St. Louis win the Stanley Cup. I'm sorry. I think they're just gonna do well. So I feel Dallas will want a lot of revenge for 2016. I know why want some, but hey, maybe if I keep going against Dallas, they'll keep defying my expectations. That's the plan right there.
You know what? My heart wants to say Dallas, but I'm gonna say St. Louis in five.
I mean, yeah, like it. A lot of it does depend on like how St. Louis plays in St. Louis, because they didn't have like the greatest. They didn't play the greatest in St. Louis in the first round series versus Winnipeg. But if they can dominate at home, they have a solid chance versus Dallas for sure.
Okay, so we both say St. Louis there. All right, so Calgary. So Colorado versus the Sharks.
This one is so interesting, because if it was Vegas or Colorado, I would have had Vegas absolutely destroying Colorado. But Colorado-San Jose is going to be a very close, interesting series. I'm going to say San Jose in seven, but I think Colorado is going to give a big fight. The reason I think San Jose won't just clean wipe out the Colorado Avalanche, I think, is mostly because of just the San Jose Sharks' woes a little bit, the goaltending not being too consistent, the defense, Carlson not being still 100% healthy. The forward group, if it plays as good as it did in Vegas, they'll have a decent series, but I think San Jose will just be able to get it done, but having 14 games in the first two series is going to be big for them in the Western Conference Final.
I think Colorado is going to beat them in six. I don't think it's a hot take. I think that in the Vegas and San Jose series, they had hate. But they've already hated each other this whole season. Colorado and the Sharks, they don't hate each other.
Great rivalry there.
They don't hate each other. They don't even know each other. In that series, it's just one of those things where I feel like the Sharks are coming off such an emotionally draining series, where it's like they just had so much like fuel for the fire of wanting to beat these guys, that they're gonna go against a team in Colorado that are just here to win. They're just here to win, take care of business, not deal with any of the extra sideshow stuff that San Jose likes to do. They're gonna come in, take care of business, and I think they're gonna win. I think they're gonna come in, they're gonna score a lot of goals. They're gonna get beat some, but I think they're gonna come in and score a lot of goals, and they're gonna move on to the conference finals. So I'm going with Colorado six.
That would be a pretty awesome Western Conference final. Not gonna lie.
That's what I'm saying. But we're getting ahead of ourselves there. Let's go over to the East. New York versus Carolina.
What? Just fun. Fun. I cannot wait for this series. It's probably, besides Dallas-St. Louis, obviously, this is probably my most anticipated second round just because of how much fun this series will be. I'm going to say New York advances in six. I think Carolina is going to give up a pretty big fight. I think the forward group will be pretty solid consistently. Hopefully the defense continues to play how they did versus Washington. But I think the New York Islanders will just get a little bit ahead. I think goaltending, Robin Leonard is still going to have a great series. He's going to be good. I think the defense will be solid once again. The forward group will be able to get clutch goals once again. I just think in the end, New York will have the advantage, and I mean, I would maybe like to be wrong because I would definitely like to see Carolina go far again, but if the Islanders go to the Eastern Conference Final, that would be insane too.
Okay, I just want to point out something back on the Capitals versus Carolina series. I just want to point out what a great loser Alex Ovechkin is. What a great loser. Like, I'm not saying that, like, oh, he's a loser, haha. I'm saying he's a loser, a great loser, because do you see how great he was congratulating them on beating them?
Yeah, I saw, like, he was kind of, I didn't see the whole play, though.
Like, he was really, like, after they lost, like, he was like, oh, great series, man. You played really good. Like, he would just look like a guy that was just, like, you know, he won, so he understands the, like, to beat those kind of guys. So it's, like, I know it's not, it's kind of like passing the torch. And as soon as he met up with Justin Williams, like, they did their little shakeup, and he was, like, I can't really mouth, like, his words, because I don't even know what he says half the time.
But he's Russian.
I'm not saying that because he's Russian, because he literally speaks, like, mush mouth sometimes. Like, I'm pretty sure he was like, he's like, win it for us, like that kind of thing. It was just a really cool thing. Anyway, I want to say Carolina, but I also think Barry Trotz just hasn't, I think Barry Trotz is like the chess master. I just think he just knows how to move people around. He watched how the Carolina Hurricanes beat the Washington Capitals, and I think he's gonna get underneath Brendan Moore's skin in these coaching matchups with who he's gonna put out there versus each line, because each one of New York's lines are just that good. Like, they all know what they're gonna do. They all execute. Like, on Washington, it didn't quite seem like it was that way. Against a team that didn't really play their third or fourth lines in Game 7, ironic, and they won. I think that's what's gonna hurt the Carolina Hurricanes here, and I think New York's gonna take this series in six.
All right, moving on to one that you're probably not gonna like too much. Boston versus Columbus.
Whatever, man.
I don't really get too many exciting vibes from this one.
It seems boring, right? Doesn't the series seem boring? Even if Toronto won, this series would still be boring to me.
I don't know what it is with Columbus. Even though they swept the President's
Trophy, they seem like a boring team, right? They're like the librarian. They just have these lame colors. When I think of Columbus, I think of like Rick Nash, and I think of like how bad they were. That's exactly what I think of when I think of Columbus. And that seems like a huge jab, but it's like, really, like, I don't, like, no offense, but like Dallas Stars and Columbus Blue Jackets are like the boringest teams in my opinion.
Well, you can't make the color excuse. Victory Green is absolutely amazing.
No, I know it is. I'm just saying that I'm just like, they're like the teams that I would never watch. Like when I think of Dallas Stars, I'm thinking of those black ugly jerseys, and I think of Morrow.
Don't at all.
I think of Brandon Morrow.
I'm gonna say that right now. The black Dallas jerseys with, like, Dallas on the crest is, like, the worst jersey of all time.
The worst jersey. I think of Mike Ribeiro. That's what I think.
Yeah, Mike Ribeiro taking me back right there.
Oh, cheeky. Cheeky. Yeah. All right, now back to the series. So, I'm gonna go with Columbus in seven.
Ooh, all right.
Like, I really, like, I think that Columbus, like, as good as they handled defeating the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think that the Bruins just have this veteran savvy and this, like, fight that just, one more shot. You know, like one more, guys, one more.
Charlie McAvoy's just like, all right.
Yeah, like I don't know, like they have a healthy Charlie McAvoy, which they didn't have last year. And the, you know what, I take that back. I'm going with Boston in seven. Just kidding. Ooh, I'm going with Boston in seven. Like I hate Boston when they go against Toronto, but I actually do like the Bruins.
I didn't expect that. A Blackhawks fan and a Maple Leafs fan.
Well, I don't like Marchand. I don't like Marchand. But
not many people like Marchand.
Like, how can you hate Bergeron? How can you hate that man? You can't hate them. How can you hate Pasternak? Pasternak
is my favorite Bruin by far. He's an absolute beauty.
Like, how can you hate that Dunkin' Donuts commercial he did?
Yes.
You can't hate that, Boston. You can't hate that. Like, I don't know. I just have a hard time. Like, it's so funny that Steve Dangle mentioned. We mentioned him a lot, but he's like a Leaf focal point. There was like fighting going on with the Bruins, and one of the Leafs fell on the ice, and Bergeron goes and helps him up. he helped the Leaf up and I think it was Connor Brown. Connor Brown looks at him, he's like, why are you doing this?
He's like, okay, Patrice.
Alright, Berg. Alright, Berg. Okay, bud, why do you make it so hard to hate you? And he's like, oh, sorry.
Sorry, bud.
Sorry, man. He's like, well, sorry. See you later, bye. Like, but no, it's like, anyway, I really don't hate the Bruins. I hate the Bruins when they go against the Leafs, and I hate Marchand, and I hate Chara. But, like, I like the jerseys. The Bruin jersey was, like, one of the first jerseys I bought because I love their design. But, like, you know what? I'm feeling the Bruins in this series, and I think, you know, they could move on, so I'm going with Bruins in seven, man.
I got the Columbus Blue Jackets in six. I think with Boston, yes, they were able to get past the Toronto Maple Leafs. But besides Game 6 and Game 7, I wasn't really impressed by how they played. Now, they had a decent series overall, but I didn't think, honestly, overall, they are the better team. I feel like with Boston, if things continue to click like they did in Game 6 and Game 7, I think they will have a pretty easy job versus Columbus. But Columbus has proved to not just lie down with teams like Tampa, to beat a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning and to sweep them. It takes something special. I think Columbus right now has something special with them. It might not be enough to sweep the Boston Bruins. I don't think that's going to happen at all. But I think the Columbus Blue Jackets just have a sort of era with them. The Boston Bruins might not be able to compete with. Now, obviously, Boston has a ton of veteran players, but I think with Columbus, they just have a drive right now that will get them over the top. I think in six games, I think it could go to seven, but I think with Columbus, just something, like when it comes to the goaltending, I think it'll be solid again. Defense has been as good as ever. Guys like Matt Duchene and Panarin will have solid series. I just think for Columbus right now, they were just too dominant over a team like Tampa to just lie down to Boston like that. And I feel like with Boston, yes, they will give up a great fight, but I think in the end they'll lose in the second round for the second straight year.
Oof. Yeah, that's a good pick. All right, so we chose, so for the first round in the West, we both chose St. Louis. Yes. I chose Colorado. You chose the Sharks. For New York, we both chose New York, right? And then I chose Boston. You chose Columbus. So that is our choice. Oh, so I guess enough about the playoffs. One quick thing, quick notes, really quick. Steve Yzerman.
Oh yeah.
Steve Yzerman, new Detroit Red Wings. That kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah, Steve Yzerman, of course, dropped down from the Tampa Bay Lightning and then just disappeared basically off the map. He was in like an advisor role with like Julian Breezeball or something, still with Tampa. But like after the playoffs, I think after Tampa got swept, I think he started to meet with Ken Holland in March, and they started to talk. And I think that deal was in place a couple of weeks before Tampa lost. He was pretty much confirmed to go to Detroit. I don't think that was really too much of a surprise, but for Detroit, it's maybe the best move they've made in like the past 5 years. It seriously is that franchise changing. And again, a guy like Steve Yzerman, who not just was a past generational player, won Stanley Cups with them, but to get a GM that caliber, who I think is the best GM in the league by far, that changes Detroit in so many ways, from a GM and Ken Holland who was pretty overdue to be out as a GM to a guy who is
he's done clean. Pretty good the last couple years. Like
he's been better.
better. Once he realized that, like, oh, I probably shouldn't have done those things.
Probably shouldn't have signed Abdel Kader for 7 years.
Yeah, he's like, oh, probably should have done that. But even though he signed Nielsen to that horrible contract. But I think he's done quite the job of, like, kind of cleaning up. And the prospects that he's gathered in the last couple of years have been pretty good. I'm still upset with him about trading that trading Datsyuk to the Arizona Coyotes and that 15th pick overall for getting Jacob Chychrun. I can't say his name. Whatever. I think it's Chychrun. I don't know. But
I don't even think the Coyotes announcer.
Yeah, nobody knows. But I'm still upset with them about that. But that's the only thing I'm really upset about. But otherwise, I mean, getting before Red Wings fans like start telling them, oh, get the whole band back together. Like, don't get Fedorov. For the love of God, do not bring Fedorov back to the fold.
You don't want to become Edmonton. Don't bring back former players for the sake of bringing back former players.
That's what I was just about to say. I'm like, don't do it. Not only did he have a bad run in Russia with S... Dude, he had a bad run with CSKA. And, I mean, you would probably know them as, like, one of the most powerhouse teams in Russia.
They're, like, basically... They're, like, not... SKA is, like, the dominant team.
They're, like good Tampa.
CSKA is like number two.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, they like he didn't get fired. They just didn't renew his contract, like, and now he's there as like an advisory role. And it's really weird, but it's like, don't bring him, please don't bring him. He's not good. But anyway, that's all I got. That's all I got.
I just think for Detroit is that just franchise changing to bring that such that guy that like that. Caliber of talents in there will change Detroit's future. In their current rebuild right now, again, with Stevie Eisman, he came into a Tampa team that I'm pretty sure he went in like 2013. It was a solid team, but it wasn't a team that was as... 2011. That's a little bit different. But like Tampa at that point was like Steven Stamkos was still pretty young at that point. They were still in the kind of, I don't want to say the rebuild phase, but they were a more up-and-coming team. And Steve Eisman changed that team into something
that weird. Is now. What was weird in 2011, I believe it was 2011, maybe it was 20, I don't know, we don't do math here, we don't know. We have the internet, can you look it up? I don't know. What's it called? In 2011, that was a year that they went to the conference finals, and they lost by one game to the Boston Bruins. And in that year, the next 2 years after that, they just flailed. And it didn't look like it was going to be that good of a run for Stevie Y, to be honest. When it first started, it was like, oof, man, dude. They signed Vincent LeCavalier to that huge contract. Martin St. Louis was getting older. They lost Simon Gagner. That's my favorite player. and they didn't have a defense. They had 44-year-old Dwayne Rolison in net. They had no prospects in goal. Like, it looks so bad. They got really lucky with the amount of draft, like, picks that they got, like, within those first couple years with Palat, Johnson, obviously Kucherov, Vasilevsky turned out to be really good, Point's been amazing, Victor Hedman ended up turning out to be something. Victor Hedman wasn't Victor Hedman until the last, like, 3 years.
I mean, Victor Hedman had that weird haircut. That's what I remember.
Yeah, he looks super weird. He's a weird 6'8" man boy.
man.
They had nobody on defense. They had Braden Colburn was like their second best defenseman. Like Jason Garrison was their like top four.
Jason Garrison was a good player for never.
Like there was that team wasn't looking good until after they drafted Drouin was the only player that I think was like the bad one.
Yeah.
like they drafted Drouin and then after that was like, all right, we're here.
We're just a Tampa Bay Lightning now.
We're ready. So, but no, I mean, Yajman doesn't step into the same kind of situation they did with Tampa, but I definitely think with his expertise, like moving contracts and trying to fix teams, it's going to be a good run for Detroit.
All right, so that'll be it for today's episode. I don't know when we'll be back, probably after the second round or in between, who knows at this point, honestly. It could be next week, the week after that. But we went through everything today with the playoffs. It's a very exciting first round with all the underdogs playing well. It's been a pretty fun one to cover in today's episode. But, of course, you can follow us. I'll let Nico put his at on Twitter right now.
Yeah, you can follow me at Nico from the TO on Twitter. Follow at Puck77 on Twitter as well, putting out solid articles for you every day pretty much. Also subscribe to my YouTube channel. Nikos Michaels Official. I don't post anything on there, but you should subscribe anyway.
Smash that subscribe.
When are we gonna do a live stream together? When is that gonna happen?
There's not any Leafs anymore.
What do you mean? I know everything. I'm a hockey god.
Yeah. We'll have to get something going, probably.
Yeah, I feel like we're like the ugly stepchild, this podcast. Like, you hide us away from your from your mainstream stuff. You don't want us on your YouTube channel. You don't talk about us on your YouTube channel.
No, I don't know. Nikos, who is that guy?
We're like that stepchild that like opens the door and you turn around like, go back to your cage. That's all
anyway,
I got.
Yeah. That's, I mean, all. I guess you could maybe follow me on Twitter at Nathan Gravity.
Don't do course. It.
You can maybe subscribe to my YouTube channel, maybe, possibly.
He's a bad subscribe. Unsubscribe.
Yeah, don't subscribe, # reverse psychology. But yeah, also follow the podcast Twitter at ROH Podcast. You can find all the updates on there as well. I haven't been posting but on there lately, but we'll get that going eventually. But that'll be it
for today's episode. Wait
a second.
You gotta follow Jay on Twitter. I guess.
Okay, follow Jay if you want to. His ad is 416J.
I love how you skipped them.
He was sick, okay? He was sick.
We fired him.
I'm okay, Jay, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, okay?
Oh, that's awesome.
Hopefully you're having a good day, buddy.
That's awesome. Let's go. Let's have it. We're done.
All right, see you next time. Keep preaching hockey. Goodbye.